He saith, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. And Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast a hook and take up a fish that first cometh up. When thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. Let us pray together again. Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy, and we thank you for all that you do in our lives. I just pray at this time you'd use this message to speak to our hearts and draw us ever so closer to you. I pray that through it, Lord, that you change our lives and make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. I just pray in everything that's said and done, it'll bring honor and glory to your name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled my message, Lest We Should Offend Them. Jesus has taught us that the greatest way to live our lives is not as we want, but as God wants. As a Christian, our greatest ability or our greatest privilege is to live the will of God in our lives. A life of humility. A life where we put others before ourselves, not thinking about ourselves only, but thinking about others. We should always be willing to give up our rights for the greater good of those who are around us. Even in the garden, Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 26, 38 and following, then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Jesus submitted himself to the will of the Father. He gave up his own rights, his own freedoms, so that we could have freedom. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ had every right to stand up for his rights, for his own will, but he chose not to. His kingdom was not of this world. He had a purpose, and that purpose was to do the will of the Father. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus had a joy that was set before him. His joy was both to do the Father's will and to see souls saved from hell for all of eternity. That was his joy. He gave up his rights. He left his home in heaven so that you and I could have life more abundantly, so that we could have freedom. In this passage of scripture we read, a truth that the children of the king are free, but yet lest we should offend them, we are to pay our taxes or tribute. We are to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, and render unto God that which is God's. Back in that day, the tribute was for the temple, the custom for the kings at the time. Pay your taxes and your tribute. The taxes were for the government, and the tribute was for the host of the Lord. As children of the Most High God, we are free from paying such things because we are not strangers. But the Lord teaches us a very valuable lesson, and that is found in Romans chapter 12. Turn there, if you would, the book of Romans chapter 12. And we'll begin reading at verse 17. Romans chapter 12. And we'll begin reading in verse 17. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, beginning verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. We are to, as much as possible, live peaceably with all men. And the reason we do this is we understand God is in control. Our circumstances, what befalls us in life, it is all Father filtered. In order for this to happen, though, however, we need to, from time to time, give up our rights and leave our defense in the hands of God. As we go through this message, we'll look at the fact that the children are free, our duty to pay taxes, and the reason is so that we don't offend. Let us first look at the fact that children are free. Matthew 17, verse 25, it says, "He saith, yes, and when he was come into the host, Jesus prevented him, saying, What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, Of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, Then are the children free." The children are free. The kings of the earth would not have taxed their own children, but only those who were strangers. And they had the power to do so because of their authority. If you were a child of the king, you would not have to pay the custom or tribute during that time. Because we are children of the King of Kings, we have freedom of the burden of paying our taxes because of our position in God's family. Now, don't take this out of context. You have to listen to the whole message. Don't cut it out there and say, "Brother Myers says we don't have to pay our taxes." We have to look at the whole counsel of God. What does God say? Later on, he says, "Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, we pay our taxes." Our freedom that we have is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not strangers, but we are free. Turn your Bible to the book of John, John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and we'll begin reading in verse 31. John chapter 8, and we'll begin reading in verse 31. The Bible says the following. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which ye have seen with your Father." We have no greater freedom than the freedom which Christ provided for us. When we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, when we trusted in that gift which he gave to us, when he died on the cross, he was buried and he rose again, when we trust in him for that gift, we became the very sons of God. The Bible says to as many believed in him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. We are joint heirs with Christ, the Bible says. We are children together. We're children of God. The Bible says in Romans 8:12 and following, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of your body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Christ knew that he was free from such tribute or custom because of his position, and so are we. We are made free from it. That doesn't mean we do not render to Caesar that which is Caesar. It does not mean we do not pay our taxes because of our freedom we have in Christ. We do not use our freedom as a reason as to why we don't obey authority. It is God-given. Our greatest freedom that we have is the fact that we have been made free from the wrath to come. Our greatest freedom is salvation. Don't look at your freedom as a reason as to why you do not obey government, why you do not pay your taxes, why you get to do whatever you want. That is what your freedom is not. God does not want you to use your freedom in such a way. Our freedom is the fact that we shall be delivered from the wrath to come. Our freedom is the fact that we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. That is what it is all about. Our greatest freedom is our salvation. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 and following, it says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, unto them sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God." Our position as Christians is we are children of the King. As children, we have freedom. We have more freedom than anyone can imagine. We have freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible says we're not to use our freedom to serve ourselves, but rather we're to use this freedom to serve God, to be submitted unto authority, to live above all else, not for our will, but for His will. Not only are we free, the children are free, but our duty to pay taxes or our duty to obey authority. We have a duty, and that duty is God-given. I submit myself unto every ordinance of man as much as possible, as much as life in me. I do what the government asks of me because, in so doing, I serve the Lord. I do it for the Lord's sake. The Bible, again, I'll read it in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 and following. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man. Why? For the Lord's sake. That is why you do it. You say, why do I have to pay taxes? Why do I have to do what they tell me to do? You do it for the Lord's sake, because God asked you to do it. Whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. We submit ourselves to every ordinance of man, including paying our taxes, for the Lord's sake. There are many things that we don't agree with as Christians that governments do. Whether it be simple things like even driving down the road, speed limits, you might not agree with it. There could be other things maybe you don't agree with that you just think that the government has no right in telling you what to do. And as long as it does not contradict the Word of God, we ought to do it. And the reason is we do this out of obedience to our Heavenly Father. I know the government, when I pay my taxes, that they use my taxes for things I do not want them to use it for. Whether it be go to things like abortion, or to be used in other things that giving free money to people who do not want to work. There are many, many ways in which I might look at a government and say, you know what, I don't agree with this. But my duty as a Christian, it's not to resist. My duty is to obey and pay and give to God that which is God's and give to Caesar that which is Caesar's, because that's what God has asked me to do. We will obey our governor as much as humanly possible because this pleases the Lord. The Bible says in Romans 13, 1 and following, turn there if you would. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and following. It says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. All powers exist because of the will of God. The government, it is God-given. The family, it is God-given. The local church, it is God-given. And we're not to look at the government and look at them with our freedom that we have in Christ and say, you know what, I don't have to listen to you. I serve a higher power. My God is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I can do whatever I want to do. You cannot tell me what to do. And the reason being is God says, I have put them in authority. I have placed them there. Don't ever look around you and look at the kingdoms of this world and think that they're a mistake and all these things that happen, that God is not in control. God is in control of it all. Nothing catches him off by surprise. All powers exist because of the will of God. They do not exist unless he says so. Turn to the book of John, John chapter 19. John chapter 19 and verse 7 and following. The Bible says in the book of John chapter 19, beginning at verse 7. John chapter 19, beginning at verse 7. The Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except that were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered thee unto me hath the greater sin. God is in control of every situation. And Jesus knew this. Pilate said to Jesus, do you realize the position you're in right now, that I have power both to deliver you or to condemn you? I have that power. And Jesus said, no. That is a God-given power. You're at where you're at right now because God has allowed it. God has allowed this to take place. Don't ever think that you're above the power of God. Governments, the ones who are in control in this world with power, God has given them a responsibility to rule over nations, and they will be held accountable according to how they have done it. If they have done it in wickedness, if they've done it in sin, God will judge it. God will deal with that. Their responsibility is to do it in a way which God wants them to do. And we know in the sin-cursed world, not everything our governments do is good or right. Not every law that they make, we're in agreement with. But the Bible says when it comes to paying our taxes or obeying laws, that sometimes we think to ourselves, I just don't agree with it. He says, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. You pay your taxes, you do what the government asks you to do, not because you're not free, but we don't want to be an offense unto them. We do not want to offend them, which brings me to my last point, so that we don't offend. We are free in Christ. We are the children of God. We obey our authority and we pay our taxes so that we don't offend. I do it because God says if you don't pay your taxes and if you're not living your life as you ought to and you're not submitting to my authority I've placed in your life, you're going to offend some people and we don't want to do that. You say, what's the reason? Isn't it true that all those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution? And you say to yourself, I have no problem resisting authority because my authority is greater. I'm going to resist because of my position in Christ. All those who are godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Look, if you suffer because of the Word of God and you stand for the Word of God, that's one thing. But if you're suffering because you're resisting doing simple things like paying your taxes, you don't want to drive the speed limit down the road. If you're suffering because they put rules on your property and you need a permit in order to build something and you just don't think that's right and you get in trouble because you say, I'm not going to listen to that, then that is not suffering for righteousness' sake. That's suffering because you want to stand up for your own personal rights. And God has taught us the best thing for us to do to live as Christians is to live a life of humility. We're not to use our position, our power. We have power because we are children of God. We're not to use that position to be advantageous to us so that we can get whatever we want, so that we can enjoy life to the fullest for ourselves. We're to use that position to be servants of the Most High God, to submit ourselves to Him, and as much as lieth in us, to live peaceably with all men. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We need to ask ourselves, if I don't do this, will it offend them? If there are certain things that you're doing and you know that offends this world, and God doesn't say in His Word, this is what you need to do, and it doesn't say anything that it's wrong, it's neither wrong or right, it's just God has not clearly spoken on a certain subject, and you just know it to be your right, give up your right. Give up your right and live peaceably with all men. The Bible says that if we're not willing to follow peace with all men and holiness, the Bible says no man shall see the Lord. Don't look at the suffering that you're suffering because you're not willing to submit unto the powers that God has ordained. You're not willing to do what God has told you to do. You're not willing to obey the government and their rules and say, you know what, I'm suffering for Christ. Make sure that you do what you're supposed to do and live a life with peace and holiness. Jesus would expect us to, as much as possible, live peaceably with all men, even at the expense of giving up our own rights. Our stand ought always to be follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Our lives should always reflect putting God first and others before ourselves when it comes to the things that we do. Is it easy? No. Is it right? Yes. Christ has given us an example of how we are to live our lives before God and before the world. Romans 12:8, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. If it be possible, if it's not against the Word of God, and they make a rule on what you ought to do, and it doesn't say in the Word of God that what the rule is wrong, then you submit to it. You do what God tells you to do. Let us live a life like Christ and use our freedom to glorify God and not benefit ourselves. We have been made free. We are the children of the King of Kings, yet we have to pay our taxes and obey the laws of the land as much as possible. We do so not because we are not free, but rather so that we don't offend those who are around us. If people are offended because of the Word of God that is being preached, let them be offended. But never let the offense come from you standing up what you believe to be your right. Let us conclude with 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 25. 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'll read verses 13 through 25. And this will give you a view of how you ought to live your life, how you ought to submit to authority, how we ought to live our lives in this present world. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, 13 and following, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing he may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live under righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. God has given us an example. You want to know how you ought to live your life? It is found here in 1 Peter chapter 2. How you deal with authority, how we handle being mistreated, how we live our life in this world, how we follow rules when we disagree with them, we don't like them. You do it like Jesus would do it, of a life of humility. And not standing up for his own right, but standing up for what needed to be done, doing the will of God. And the process of doing the will of God, it brought it to a place where he saved our very souls. More concerned about those around us than our own selves. We need to follow his example. We need to follow in his footsteps, lest we should offend them. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father,